Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
There's a lot to address with you guys. I always appreciate you guys having me on every other week. I also have learned clearly none of you ever listened to our show.
From Madison to the Big Apple.
If I were the Milwaukee Bucks, I would not trade him. And I don't mean just now. Like literally ever. Unless he says to me, I want to leave. Because I think the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis have given every ounce of effort to make each other great. And I will never, ever get a person or player ever to walk through my doors again like that.
It's time for Evan Cohen on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
That is Evan Cohen's theme music. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown in Milwaukee. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. Stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app.
He's got the Go Boo in a Bar shirt on.
Nice.
Go Boo in a Bar.
That is, and Matt is decked out in his Mr. USA outfit.
Yeah, baby.
And I am rocking my Milwaukee Bucks crew neck for the last few days. I can feel proud to be a Bucks fan because I feel like Giannis is going to be gone, Evan. And we did ask, and this is fascinating. We did ask our audience off of your take earlier today. Evan Cohen says the Bucks should never trade Giannis. Do you agree? And right now, we posted it just less than an hour ago. 50 votes. It is 50-50.
That mean that was a good take by me, I guess, and a good question by you guys. So, Jim, Matt, Molly, I don't believe, primetime, I don't believe that people agree with my concept of what I'm saying here. Because conceptually, and I see Molly shaking her head already, conceptually, what I'm saying is I am willing to let him walk out the door for nothing, for literally nothing. Let me explain. So I believe that the Milwaukee Bucks technically have three shots at this. The first, let me be clear, three shots to improve, not to trade him, to improve. Chance number one, in theory, and they're not going to do this, nor should they for this week, because they're out of it with his injury. In theory, they could try to find a way to add to their team before the trade deadline. That's chance number one, shot number one. Shot number two, they don't trade him. Season ends. They don't even talk. Don't talk to him. Literally, don't talk to him. Because he says he's not going to ask out. Fine. What my shot now is, if I'm John Horst, the general manager, is I now have a lottery pick. Because I didn't make the playoffs. I now have extra picks down the line. I have an expiring contract of Kyle Kuzma. I have 3 years left, if I'm not mistaken, of Miles Turner, who a lot of teams would be interested in, maybe even to give up a first-round pick for, or I could keep him. And I have these young players now because I just drafted. So now, or I could use this to trade for an established player for the team that may not be as good. Shot number two, season ends. Before free agency, around the draft, and in free agency, I could try to add to the team. Shot number three, I offer him a contract extension on October 1st of 2026, where I'm now eligible to offer him 4 years, $275 million. He likely is going to say no. And then I realize, well, I could still add to my team before the trade deadline next year, 1 year from now, and I have a chance to do that. And then, at the end of next season, he has to then say, I'm sorry, I'm not picking up my player option, and I'm leaving on my own. This is not a, well, they traded me, I never asked out. No, no, I have to say no, I don't want to be here, and I want to leave. And if I'm the Bucks, and I look around my offices, and I look around downtown Milwaukee, and I look at the Pfizer Forum, and I look at the Deer District, and I realize none of this is here without him, he has to leave me, I'm not leaving him. No chance.
So You're right that the Bucks have nothing without Giannis, in my opinion. Like, it feels like they are dead in the water. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. Deer District, all that stuff gone.
My bad on the little that, email thing. No, I'm just saying, my bad on the email. Oh, I apologize. That might turn off,
But, so my fear, and this is where I guess I don't understand your take, is, like in the last segment we were just talking about it, I compared Giannis to a car. The more miles you put on it, the less value the car has. That's how I feel with Giannis. So in your situation, is Giannis playing another minute in a Bucks uniform, or is he not playing this entire time?
Well, what do you want to play out, Molly? What could be the dream scenario, logical scenario, what I would propose? Like, what would you like to play out? Because I think that question you asked is a good question. I don't know how I answer it based on where you want me to go with it. So what scenario would you like me to play out with this?
Well, in all three of your scenarios, like your three options that you said that could happen, in any of those, is Giannis playing?
Yeah. Yes, just not this year. Dream scenario. Doesn't play at all this year. I then try to trade off pieces, right? I then sit there and say, like, is there any chance somebody gives me something for Ryan Rollins, who's, like, pretty good, but, like, sure, like, take him. Like, would somebody give me an extra second-round pick for Gary Trent, who's a good shooter and on a cheap deal? I mean, could I really cash in on Miles Turner, who I think is a fit next to Giannis? But I'm going the other way. I want to lose as many games as possible because the misperception and conception here is they don't have a draft pick. No. They don't have the best version of the possible draft picks they could have, but because they're bad and the Pelicans are bad, they'll have a lottery pick. I want more picks. And then let's just say somehow, some way, if I'm the Bucks, I'm making this up, I trade, hypothetically, Miles Turner to the Boston Celtics straight up for Anfernee Simons, who's a guard that no one has heard of in Wisconsin right now, but he's on an expiring contract, and I get a first-round pick to do it. Well, now I have two first-round picks, and I have the one deep out. Now, what? I have a lottery pick, but maybe it's a lottery pick to get one of the superstars, but maybe it's between 5 and 10 to get one of the potential superstars. Huh. Who could be available? Who else is doing the Giannis by then that I now have three first-rounders to give up? Interesting. Like, now that's – so he doesn't play the rest of the season, but he does play with them next season in my scenario, yes.
So – should Milwaukee Bucks fans trust John Horst and the Bucks front office to be smart about this? Because I know in your clip you said they've tried, they've brought in all these guys, and yes, I agree with that. But they haven't had the smartest moves. One of them being, oh, you're going to pay Dame Lillard for how many more years? Like, should Bucks fans actually trust this Bucks front office?
Versus what? Like, let's just see. The Milwaukee Brewers are awesome every year, but never win the World Series. The Green Bay Packers are contending every year, but never win the Super Bowl. The Wisconsin Badger basketball team has been amazing, and we've gotten to the Final Four, but we've never won it all. The Wisconsin football, Barry Alvarez's teams were amazing. Barry Alvarez, go boo in a bar, is not there anymore. So versus what? They should be considered the most trustworthy team in the state of Wisconsin because they're the only team in recent
memory. Yeah, but the state of Wisconsin isn't what I want them to compare themselves to. I'm thinking about OKC. Jim talked about OKC yesterday. You look at that franchise. My God. They've done so much, and they've been incredible.
You're allowing your business to walk out the door. He's your business. I mean, Matt. Yes. Matt's a perfect example. Matt is a good sports fan. But Matt is not breaking down like Jim and I would or Molly would, like the loser. Oh, well, how about the 11th guy in the Bucks? Did you see him tonight? No, what Matt's probably saying, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, what you and your buddies are probably saying is, yo, you want to go see Giannis tonight? I got free tickets. Right? And that's what a lot of people probably – not you want to see the Bucks. You want to go see Giannis tonight. So you can litter that roster, Molly – with all kinds of young players like the Thunder did, but before any of them become Shea, Matt and his friends are not going to be like, yo, you want to see Lou Dort tonight? Jim and I would go. Lou Dort's the kind of player that Jim and I both love because he's going to fight you and be grimy and all that. But you're not going to fill up an arena with the, yo, you want to go see Lou Dort tonight? He's a player in the Thunder for anybody who's unaware.
That seems accurate. No, I have no idea who Lou Dort is. It seems accurate as far as you're right. Giannis in a Bucks jersey is basically the conversation if we're going to a game.
Right.
And that's the point. And I would be bummed if I went to a game and he was sitting. Like, whether it be a rest day or he's injured. Like, right now, if someone asked me if we'll go to a Bucks game, I'm like, I don't know.
Hold on. Matt, play this out. Let me pretend something.
Yeah.
I'm the starting quarterback for the Packers, and Jim is the starting wide receiver. You going to go to the Packers game? Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's on the team.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's the point. And the Brewers, to their credit, have churned the roster so much that it may not matter who's on the team because you now trust they're going to be good enough to compete for 162. May not be good enough to win it all, but good enough to compete for 162.
Yeah.
Jim, you've been very quiet. This is well, stunning.
That's because Jim's waiting for his chance to get after you.
No, I already.
No, I would love it.
I already said, and we kind of got into it a little bit. I think your take is ridiculous because I would look at it like this: it's operating from a position of weakness that we can't do better than Giannis, and we can't ever have anything good like this again, and everything stacked against us. Instead of a way of being aggressive and smart, and I know I'm using one of the best GMs in all of sports with Oklahoma City, but turning that roster from Kevin Durant and Harden and Westbrook into draft picks and players and more picks and more players. And Oklahoma City, just like Milwaukee, has to fill that arena. They had two horrible years, but they were so smart on trading picks to the right teams and getting picks back. And I know I'm asking John Horst to be a Hall of Fame GM, but if I'm the other way and I'm the Bucks and I'm John Horst, I say I can do this and I can turn Giannis into a new title contender in about 4 years here in Milwaukee. And I will do it, and I will take that challenge.
All right, so let's do it. I'm going to put you to the test right now.
All right.
Because you don't need John Horst to be a Hall of Fame GM to do what I'm about to tell you. Okay?
Yep.
You ready, Jim?
Yep.
Okay. One of the worst contracts in the NBA is for a guy that's probably going to find his way into the Hall of Fame, and his name is Paul George. Okay? So how did Oklahoma City do it? Everyone listening right now knows that Oklahoma City won the championship last year. Not everyone knows how. So let me try to explain. What Oklahoma City did was they seeked out some of the worst contracts in the NBA. They asked those teams to trade the worst contracts to them. But as a catch, they have to pay them off. In other words, I'm going to give you this bad contract. You're going to take it from me, and I'll give you a first or maybe two firsts to do it. So, for example, are you willing to trade Miles Turner and Kyle Kuzma for Paul George and a first or maybe two firsts?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now, are you willing to then trade Giannis to the Warriors for Jimmy Butler and four firsts?
Yes. That's my favorite trade right now. Okay. Yep.
All right. Are you willing to then tell Jimmy Butler and Paul George, I'm sorry, you have to be injured even if you're not injured until we trade you?
Yes. I don't want to, especially Jimmy, but yeah.
For this year.
Yes.
Now, what's interesting is for next year, you can have them play for a little bit and recoup the value. And then what you're going to do is you're going to find, Portland Trailblazers. You guys are randomly good. Are you interested in Paul George for your horrible contract that is this guy Jeremy Grant? And you give us a first. You have to do that year after year after year. And fans won't care. Year after year after year. But when they will care is 7 or 8 years from now, maybe 5 or 6 years from now. But I'm trying my best to not go too inside basketball on this to make sure we understand the way in which you're suggesting. I'm not mad at that. Makes a lot of basketball sense. But you're shutting down the franchise for 5 years to do that.
And the title, and this is why I wish they would have done a little bit maybe during the offseason, the title still should give this team a little bit of a break. And I understand that the Bucks are not a Wisconsin team like the Brewers are, and I understand it's a vibes thing. But I also understand that the Bucks did draw a lot for different reasons. When the show comes to town, when the Lakers, and when Giannis comes back, and when all the other stars come to town, that arena does fill up. And the Deer District is different than the Deer District is kind of the tailgating for the Milwaukee Brewers. And you can go out there and have a good time and just meander into the Bucks game. They can't do it for long, but that's why I use OKC as the example, because having been there a lot and talked to a lot of people on OKC, they cannot let this team fall.
I forgot Jim's an OKC guy. I totally forgot about this part of Jim's life now. He goes randomly to OKC.
Yes, but like they're a sister city to Milwaukee. Like you have to win there or they're not going to go.
Right. So Jim, let me just go around the room for a second.
Yeah.
I know for anybody just tuning in right now, which is me in essence, my stance, Evan, on Sportsmanlike 589, I hear on ESPN Madison. My stance is never trade him. Your stance is get every bad contract known to man, get every draft pick, and in essence shut down the franchise for a few years to try your best to become Oklahoma City. Molly, your stance is what?
I'm what done do with do? Him. You're you can't win with him. You can't win without him.
So what?
She's nihilistic.
What?
She
I don't like him. He's annoying.
Molly just wants the Bucks out of Milwaukee.
No, by the way, hold okay. on. Matt, that's a great take. Is that what, because that's not out of left field. No, no, hold on. Mark Lazary literally did that because he saw the writing on the wall, one of the co-governors of the team, and said, now's a good time for me to get out. So is this, I'm being dead serious. Is your advice to the Bucks sell the franchise?
I mean, ever since the Haslams came in, right, Matt? They ruined the Browns. They ruined the Bucks.
That's why I wanted to ask Evan there.
Well, yeah.
Wait, hold on. What was Matt? We don't have Matt's stance. So Jim is dump everything, get every bad contract and every pick. Mine is you never trade them. Molly's is you're never going to figure out how to do this. If you have a piece of this team, you should sell it like Lazary did. Matt, your stance on this is what? If you ran the Bucks, what would you do?
Oh, if I ran the Bucks? If I ran the Bucks or had control of the picks, I would feel like I have the confidence to go Jim's route and make good picks. The thing that scares me the most, and I'm not totally sure what the answer is, Evan, so I defer to you. What's easier, hitting on draft picks or what you're saying is trying to trade for commodities that are known and be able to like put together something that's viable on the fly?
But,
I don't know.
You're trying to move those still for picks. You're not keeping Paul George and Jimmy Butler to win anything.
Right, but the cop-out answer, Matt, to your question is it's easier. It's going to sound dumb, but it's true and obvious. It's easier to hit on picks the more you have.
That makes sense. So then I guess
most teams have one first-rounder every year. So, if Marshawn Beauchamp or whatever the guy's name is doesn't hit – no, but if he doesn't hit –
where is that guy?
He's he's Wizards or something.
Even his dog.
But the point is, if that's your only pick and it doesn't hit, it hurts. If you have two other firsts and he doesn't hit, but one of them, even if one of them becomes the early stages of Taurean Prince or Gary Trent, not what they are now, what they were then, we got something here. So that, Matt, what you're saying is Jim's route, because Jim's not saying get one pick. Jim's saying get 100 picks, which any other circumstance, I would agree with Jim. But because I know and understand the Bucks a little bit because of my time in Wisconsin, I just don't know that they're a business without them.
So that's a kind of a follow-up there. Let's say they have to do this. My concern is that, and Molly touched on it with Haslam, is he willing to do what you're talking about, which is be irrelevant or have the team maybe have the dip in, because obviously you know his history with Cleveland too, have a dip in attendance. Or is he someone that's going to say, you know what, let's just try to build something that's, the Herb Cole Bucks, where we are a 5-8 seed every year. We make the playoffs, we get the gate, and at least I'm making money.
Okay, so I think one of the things that Jimmy Haslam and Dee Haslam, both of them, the two Haslams, the husband and wife team, they own the Cleveland Browns, as you mentioned, now the governor of the Bucks, one of the governors. One of the things that is the mystery around the Haslams is no one actually has any idea what their plan is because none of their plans seem to have made sense. So that's the problem with your question.
Yeah.
Is I couldn't sit there and tell you, Jim, here's the trend based on what we've seen in years past, right? I can't figure that part out because I have no idea. Is the trend to go get the best available player regardless of background? Right, like he did with Deshaun Watson, is it, I need star power and I also think he's good, Shedeur Sanders? I don't know the answer because I don't know how he operates as a business. I think it's pretty clear, the Rooney family, Pittsburgh Steelers, they operate as in the playoffs every year is okay. And we're going to try to win Super Bowls, but what we're not going to do is ever be bad. I understand their strategy. You can disagree with it. And that's kind of the Packers strategy too. Let's be in the playoffs every single year. Yeah. Let's always have a franchise quarterback. Let's never miss on that. Let's draft the guy early rather than late. Let's have time to develop him. And let's never be irrelevant because we always have a quarterback and we're always in or hovering around the playoffs. Okay, we understand that's the strategy. How do you go about defining a strategy based on what the Cleveland Browns have been over the last few years, which is the weirdest thing in the world? We're talking about the Cleveland Browns and Madison, but it is applicable because it's the people that own the Bucks now.
You say that, and I think we're screwed.
Yeah.
When you got an owner, you're
making me sad.
Yeah, you have no idea what they're going to do. Yeah, it's Russian roulette. Doesn't mean
but listen, what I'm saying is, because I don't know what their strategy is, that also could mean they have a good one. Right, I just don't know what it
this
is.
This is the Dumb and Dumber. Like, so you're saying there's a chance. Like, the one of these options could work out, but we don't know if they'll pick that one.
Can I try to read body language for a second? Molly, why are you so mad right now? Like, I get the sense. No, I get the sense. Everyone is, like, trying to do this in a nice way towards Giannis. I feel like you are on the verge of doing it a different way, and I would just say just do it. Like, if you want to destroy this situation, destroy – because it's almost – I'm just telling those listening and not watching. No, but I'm getting the sense that Molly doesn't like the idea that all of us are doing this with kindness. Like, we didn't do this with Matt Sky Rogers with kindness. We're doing this with kindness with Giannis.
And it hurt.
Are we incorrect to be kind?
I've said it before. I've probably been too harsh on Giannis, but
– You haven't.
I'm basically out on him. I think the entire situation has been annoying. I think it's been frustrating. I think he is trying to maintain an image of being a likable person, but also at the same time, he's trying to be a villain. He doesn't take accountability for the things that he's doing, and that's what bothers me. Like, 2 weeks ago, I don't even know if it was 2 weeks ago at this point, maybe it was only a week ago, was when all the booing stuff happened, and then he, like, defended it by saying, oh, I'm perfectly fine booing people. They deserved it. I don't care if it was our fans or not. To me, it's like, yeah, perfect shirt that Evan's wearing today. But, like, to me, don't try and pretend like you are this nice guy that loves the city of Milwaukee. Only a couple months ago, he was saying, this is my city. This is my city. I'm here in Milwaukee. I'm never going to ask for a trade. Okay, but your agent's going to. So my whole thing with Giannis now is just at the point where it's, I'm frustrated by him trying to pretend to be somebody that he's clearly not anymore, and he doesn't want to be perceived as the bad guy, and the Bucks don't want to be perceived as a bad guy. So it's like they're both just what feels like in a stalemate until the story from Shams yesterday came out that the Bucks are now taking calls on him. It's just, I don't like it. Just be honest. I think that was the problem with Rodgers too, that we all had too. It was like, just be honest and people will actually accept it probably. But with Giannis, you're trying to be something that you're clearly not. And I'm just over it. Like, to me, I'm like, go to the Warriors, go play with Steph Curry, go to New York. I don't care what you do. Go win a championship if that's what you want, but don't try and pretend like you're trying, like you want to stay here when clearly you want to get out. That's where I'm at.
Ryan, there's your clip. Use that one. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, no, I think Molly, honestly, I want to end it on that note.
Yeah. For sure.
But actually, I do have one non-sports thing, because I think Evan would have a good answer on it.
I want to end it on that note, but let me ask four more questions. Well, go ahead, Jim.
That's the sports thing.
Jim Rutledge.
I can't believe we didn't get into Patriots or Bill Belichick. Like, that's where I wanted to go.
Oh, Evan's told the world 10 times over.
Congratulations.
His thoughts on that. Now, I want to know, what do you do pregame before going to the dentist to, like, get prepared? Like, I go full.
Pre-game.
Yeah. I go floss, mouthwash, brushing teeth.
I park in the parking lot, and I have a beer. I really tailgate it.
That's Matt's plan for it. But, like, I don't want to be judged.
I'm going to sound very bougie on this, but do any of you have a cleaning service that you ever have at your home? Ever?
I have had people over. Yeah, I've had someone come over to, like, help us with the deep clean. Me and my wife spent, like, 3 hours cleaning.
Super relatable, Evan and Matt. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason I'm asking this. It goes right here. What's the first thing you do before a cleaning service comes to your house?
Clean.
You clean your house.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. What's the first thing you do before you go to a dentist? You're so embarrassed preemptively that you're like, I gotta make sure this is good going on in here in your mouth so the dentist doesn't look at you like you're a clown.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. Yeah, no, I understand that was not relatable. I understand that. But there are many cleaning services out there. And you know what? Me reminding people of cleaning services could keep them in business. And maybe. And I clean. I'm an all-time great cleaner. I clean constantly. There's a video of me vacuuming the floors of our studio the other day. But I'm also, Jim, in a weird spot. My father-in-law is a periodontist, which is like a different type of dentist or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just go to his office with his team. And I get everything taken care of. So, like, if I'm gross, they can't even tell me I'm gross because they work with him. It's great.
Well, there you go.
And, Evan, I get it. It's like, I don't want my cleaning person or my dentist wasting time on cleaning that I can do. Get the deep clean stuff.
Right.
Scrub the baseboards. Really get in between the gums there.
But Matt, so Evan, I guess, because Matt's of his scenario. But you have, like, so I brought it up because when I went, I'm glad I did this before I went to the dentist today. But when I went to the dentist, obviously I got my mouth as clean as possible. Mm-hmm. But the hygienist I've had now for a few years and the dentist I had for years, like, they list, like, on my way in, they're like, we were listening. I'm like, oh, God, what did I say? But, like, they will.
Wait, they were listening to you on the show about your teeth?
Well, no, they were just telling me in general that they listen. So now I was like, oh, now they know who I am. I can't, like, have them be like, oh, not that they would, I don't know what kind of patient confidentiality, but I don't want them talking amongst themselves of, like, Rutledge's got
nasty mouth.
All right,
I understand what's going on here. Yeah. All right, has everyone figured out what's going on here?
Yeah, Jim's self-conscious.
Jim wanted one other question to let everybody know that he gets recognized.
Yeah.
People like him.
Had nothing,
people like
had
him.
Nothing
wait, has
to do
Evan
with,
seen my new plate?
Hey, this is a relatable story I where doubt Evan it. And Matt are going to talk about a cleaning service. It's not that. It's Jim said, look how cool I am. I get recognized. I'm Jim Rutledge.
Yeah. See, me and Molly just kind of gloss over Rutledge. That when he says it. We don't even bring attention to it anymore because he'll
just
pull that card.
Is Freddie Coleman drop with Jim Rutledge? That's great. The Freddie Coleman drop?
Yeah.
That sounded
that
really silly.
That's big time, Jim. That is big time, Jim.
Yes. No, I'm flattered. I was still weird waking up in the morning seeing that clip of Freddie getting on me. Do you have the clip you can put on ESPN Madison's YouTube of my license plate or not? Or you
that sounded really silly.
Well, not that, no.
I'm working on other
okay,
stuff back
so,
here.
Anyways,
not a clip, a picture,
a
Jim.
Picture, sorry.
Yeah,
picture.
I was very thrown off when he was talking. I thought he wanted the Freddie Coleman clip
no,
out of nowhere.
Picture,
can you pull that up out of the blue? Yeah,
yeah, yeah picture, yeah.
It's on our break screen. Just put the break screen on, Ryan.
Well, it's not there anymore. The buzz cut of Jim is on the break screen now, as you can see, because he's getting his head shaved.
Oh, Evan, you want input on that? Should Jim shave his head bald, completely bald, like cue ball bald?
I like the way it looks on this. I think this one looks good.
Yeah.
On this that I'm looking at right now.
I mean,
now.
The lighting's the terrible, but it does look good.
Yeah, so we're going to do that.
You know what? You know what looks good, Jim? In this, your teeth.
Yeah.
Shout out to your dentist.
Yes.
Who know who you are.
Yes. And I'd say their name if they let me endorse them, but we're not quite there yet. Maybe it's a big long game where I can.
What's your license plate? What do I need to know about your license plate?
Brian can't. It's fine. So it's on the show, I often say people like me. So I got a new personalized license plate.
To try and the letters are so
well, no, wait, Matt, because you were a part of this, so you got to own it too.
I know,
we all picked the there it is. P P L I K M E. People like me.
For some reason, I see that and it looks like pimple. I don't know why I feel like it looks like a. My eyes just go to like that's Dr. Pimple Popper's license plate for some reason. I don't know why.
You could go a lot of different ways with that.
Yeah.
People lick me. People like me.
People like me.
Yes, there's a lot of different ways. My daughter is not happy with my new license plate.
Yeah. Well, your old one. His old one was just Rutledge, but the first time I saw it, I was like, Rut Dog.
Oh, we should have. You know what? This is on me. We should have had Evan do an air check of Rosie's appearance. We'll have to do that some other time. But
existing.
Yes, there she is there. Yes, me existing is the worst thing that's ever happened to my daughter. So, Evan.
Existing.
There she is.
Better than the alternative.
Right.
Or maybe it's not.
I don't know. Yeah. She's still very proud of herself. She sent the clip to all her friends. So we got some.
We say we were done? 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, we're on our way out now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Molly's so bored right now. This is an all time level of.
No. I'm just. No, not at all. I'm just letting.
I'm a Molly Brown super fan.
Yeah, I know. She's turning into Molly Frown, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my God. Right, that is the end of it.
I was just letting Jim gloat about himself. That's all.
No, like I was talking to somebody the other day about Molly. I pitched her to do this thing, which I don't know that she's been told yet. But like, she's
I have.
Miserable.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not miserable.
It's because she's not here with me and Matt.
Yeah.
All right, Evan. Thank you.
No, I think that would make her happy. I would think.
You'd think.
All right, I'm gonna go. I'm hungry. I gotta eat dinner.
All right.
Enjoy.
And I gotta give away a case of High Life. What caller are we doing?
Oh, let's go. Caller number 5.
Caller number 5 wins a case of High Life. 844-770-3776. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly.